You know how in a baseball game, you have a starting pitcher who throws some innings, and then you have a closer who comes in and closes the game. Well, today our sermon will take that form. The session and I have a message for you, and Denny Bender is going to throw the opening innings. So Denny, he's a member of the transition team. That's a small group of elders that are overseeing the transition in the church. He's also a head of our personnel committee. So Denny, bring us the first words.
Morning, brothers and sisters. You've heard who I am. Let me explain why I am before you. This summer, Session commissioned a transition team comprised of Tom Davis as the lead, Debbie Erdman, Patty Oberg, Bert Denny, and myself. Our purpose was to facilitate a smooth progression from where we are today to the installation and early tenure of our next senior pastor. Our team has been actively supporting Stan as he plans for retirement, preparing the church staff for new leadership, and working in coordination with the pastor search committee. Back in February, there was a belief, in hindsight, an overly optimistic belief, that it was feasible, with God's expedient help, to conclude the search process in time to have a new senior pastor identified and perhaps even installed by Pastor Stan's departure. Even with the devoted hard work of the pastor search committee, it has become clear that we underestimated the time required and the availability of qualified candidates. Therefore, Session has approved a plan to seek out and hire a transition pastor to be in place in January as Stan retires. Our denomination has seasoned pastors who have been trained and have experience in leading congregations through times of transition. The ministerial committee of the Great Plains Presbytery strongly encouraged Eastminster to take on a transition pastor, and it has suggested a process and candidates to engage. This is not a new practice. Many of you may recall Reverend Bob Hopper, who served Eastminster on an interim basis, and what such a blessing he was to this church. This is much the same situation. The transition team will be interviewing pastors who have experience in this capacity and are available to be in residence at Eastminster in January. If you have questions about this plan, you can see me or any of the transition team members. Even better, I encourage you to attend one of the listening circles that will be held next Sunday between and after services in the library. In the meantime, we ask that you continue to pray for our dedicated and loyal staff, for Pastor Stan and Nancy, for the session, and for the search committee as we all seek to discern the plan God has for our church. We are confident He will work His plan in His timing and to our benefit and His glory. Thank you.
Transitions happen. They've been happening in the church since its earliest days. And I want to look at a passage today from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but before I read it, I want to set some context. The Apostle Paul planted a church in Corinth. He stayed there a little over 2 years, and then he went off to plant another church. After that, a man named Apollos was the pastor. But after Paul had left and Apollos was pastoring the church, the people in the church, some of them started to say, "Oh, don't you wish the Apostle Paul was here? After all, he was an apostle." And other people would say, "Oh, no, 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 Apollos is a much better preacher. We like him." And they actually started to fight about it. Paul hears about it, and so he writes to the church to address the issues, to remind them and us what's truly important when it comes to a transition of pastors. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. "For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere men?" Meaning, you're just mere men, not feeling filled with the Spirit. That's what you're acting like. "What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Pastors are servants of God. They are to be faithful to what God has given them to do. And every pastor that serves this church is brought here with a purpose that God had in mind. There's something they bring to the church that God thought was needful, or there's something that God wants to teach the church through that particular pastor. But regardless of who we are, the church is built on a particular foundation. And that foundation is Christ. Christ as the Son of God, Christ crucified for our sins, Christ raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and coming again. It's built on Christ and faith in him. That's the primary foundation. But every foundation is a little bit different, and that foundation depends on who and what the Lord has called that church to be. I believe that every church has been called into existence for a particular reason, that there's something God has called that church to be. And the foundation of Eastminster is built on solid theology and teaching, discipleship that focuses on transformation according to Reformed truths. It's called to have an impact on the world and the city. This is the foundation that was already laid when I came. I built on it. It will continue to be the foundation of the church, and the transitional pastor and the next pastor will build on that foundation. We've had transitional pastors before. There's Bob Hopper and Dave McKechnie and Jerry Hilton and Paul Eckel. These men served you well. They were positive experiences for the church. And you will get an experienced, well-trained transitional pastor to help transition the church to the next senior pastor. Now, we read about the transition that took place in Corinth. And here's what Paul said about it. "We pastors are servants of God. We're fellow co-workers. We bring different things to the church. Paul said, 'I planted and Apollos watered, but God caused the growth,' whether that growth was numerical or spiritual. And the ones who plant or the ones who water, they have one purpose, to be faithful to what God has called them to. And then Paul writes, you are God's field. You are God's building. Meaning whoever is tending the field or the garden, whoever that worker might be that God has called, he's just a worker working in the field, but it's God's field. I grow a garden every year. This year during planting time, I injured my back, so I could not do the planting. Nancy did the planting, but I watered and God caused the growth. And you are God's garden. We want a beautiful and fruitful and productive garden, regardless of whether one person plants or another pulls the weeds or another one waters or another one tends carefully to the flowers and the crops. And then Paul moves on to another metaphor and says that you are God's building, a building that God continues to build. Notice also whose building it is. It's not my building, or it's not my church. It's not even the Sessions church. It's not even your church. It's God's church. And God needs to be the one who tells us what he wants us to do, how he wants us to do it. That means we're listening past all the clutter that could come our way, and we're listening to the Lord, wanting him to build things his way. That also means we cannot let the evil one use any one of us to harm the church or push our personal agendas. In every phase of the transition, we are submitting to God. All churches eventually have pastors that move on. Paul left Corinth to plant in Ephesus. Some pastors take another call to another church. Some are run out of town. Some are called to different ministries. Some are dismissed for moral failure. Some die, and some retire after serving a congregation they have loved. Such moves are difficult. There are emotional bonds and spiritual bonds that have been formed. And pastors, at least good ones, don't see their work as a job. They see it as a call, and they feel like they're called to a particular group of people that they consider their sheep. And when a pastor has to leave his sheep behind, that's difficult. To add to the difficulty of it, it also means our future is a little uncertain, and that, you know, we just don't have Pastor Stan preaching for the next couple of years. And whenever there's a future that's not totally clear, that can create some anxiety. But when we feel anxious, we have to remember what God has already said to us. Our lives, our times are in his hand. And Christ is still head of his church. So what does transition look like for me and Nancy as it relates to the church? First, let me say that I love the church. When I get up in this pulpit, I stand here for a few seconds and I look at you. You know what I'm saying to myself? I love these people. Now give them God's word. And when Nancy and I think of you gathered here, we think we love them. So when we first thought of retirement, we thought, oh, we'll just stay right here in the church This is where we usually sit at the 11 o'clock service. And if you need someone to call on the sick while Pastor Mike's on vacation, oh, I'll do that. You need someone to preach, you know, fill a pulpit, oh, I'll do that. I've even thought maybe I'll teach kids Sunday school. We love you guys. We planned on, well, yeah, this is our church because it's the best church in Wichita. It really is. You know, what we look for in a church? We want a church that is theologically sound and where we will be taught well. We want a church that is missional, that is actually doing something in the city and the world. We want a church that doesn't exclude women from leadership or ministry. We want a church where there is community. Eastminster is all of this. This is the best church in Wichita. So why would we go anywhere else? Well, we wouldn't. But here's the most important thing for the church right now that I can do for the church. And that is to make sure that your next pastorate is a successful one. That means a smooth handoff to the transitional pastor and then letting the lead pastor, the next one, gain traction, shape his staff, bond with you, and be his own man under Christ without any undue influence from me. At the last General Assembly, a workshop was given, and it was titled Separation Ethics. It's a fancy word for saying, well, what's the role of the pastor who's leaving to make it a good transition for the one who is coming. And guidelines were suggested. Our presbytery has adopted them, and the session and I have agreed that we will follow them. And this is what it means for us. It means that after January 15th, I will not be your pastor. My love for you will not end, but I will not be your pastor. And Nancy and I will not be on campus for church services or for church events. The last thing I would want to do, intentionally or unintentionally, is to cast a long shadow on the next pastor. And it would break my heart that if in any way I'd made things difficult for him or made things awkward for him or kept the church from flourishing. And therefore, I believe, and so do the elders, that it would be best that I created space between my pastorate and the next one. Space enough where I am not casting my shadow on the next man. If we are invited to a wedding, we will attend the wedding and light up the dance floor at the reception. You may see us at some funerals. But if I am asked to officiate at a wedding or at a funeral, that is the call of the transitional pastor or of the next pastor or of the transition team. Our friendships will continue. They can and will continue. Many of you are our dear friends and we maintain those relationships. But if we are together, we don't discuss church business. I'm not your pastor anymore, I'm your friend. And really, I don't want to hear you say anything bad about the transitional pastor or the next pastor, right? Like, oh, he isn't you. Okay, well, good, he isn't me. But I don't need to be encouraging you in that. So we will leave to God what God has for Eastminster. Now, the thought of breaking our pastoral ties with you is very difficult for Nancy and me. We've known for a few months, and it's just been a grief for us. But it's okay to grieve. Grief means there is love. When I dropped off my kids at college, I cried. And when I gave my daughter away in marriage, I cried. I knew that day would come. I knew this transition was good and necessary, but there was still grief. It's okay to grieve, because if you grieve, there has been love. We will stay in Wichita. So if you see us at the grocery store or at Costco, say hi. We're still people you know. Hopefully you still like us. And some people said, well, why aren't you going back to California? Well, when we decided to come to Wichita, we decided we are going to make this place home, and we chose to love the city. And now it's no longer a choice. We really love the city. The people are good and kind. Nancy's 97-year-old mother still lives here. We're not going to move here. We have community here. We like our house. My mortgage is only 2.3%. And why would I move back to California crazy when I can live in Kansas? You know, when I travel around the United States or I travel around the world and people ask me, where are you from? I proudly tell them, I'm from Kansas. I choose to be a Kansan. Now, after January, we'll be looking for another church. And I'm sure there will be some Sundays after I have visited that church when I will think, well, it ain't Eastminster. But here's what I'm confident of. The Lord has really spoken this to me. Whatever church that is that we're supposed to be in, Nancy and I will walk into it, and the Lord will say to us, this is it. This is where you're supposed to be. Now, I won't be your pastor after January 15th, but I will be your pastor up to January 15th. And between now and then, I will be the best pastor that I have ability to be. I know it'll be Christ in me. I know I have to let Christ pastor through me. But while we still have this time, I want it to be our best time yet. Yes, as a church, but best year yet for a church means best year yet spiritually for you. And I've told you that begins with abiding in Christ. And it's abiding that gives way to fullness. Do not set that aside, but make abiding in Christ your priority. Because we can live our lives the way they've always been, or we can actually walk into fullness. But that requires the abiding that always comes before it. The session will keep you updated throughout the fall until January 15th. There will be a listening circle next week. Those will be offered throughout the fall so that you feel fully informed. Now, when you know that needful separation is coming, whether it's dropping off your kids at college or whether it's giving your daughter away in marriage knowing she's going to leave your house and live in another, or whether it's saying goodbye to loved ones you know you only have a limited time available with them, there are two choices we can make. We can pull away, or we can treasure the time we have. I choose to treasure you, to treasure the privilege of bringing you God's word, to invest in your life spiritually like I'm doing on Wednesday nights at the Fullness class, to have the privilege of bringing you before the Lord in my prayers every morning. Many of you I pray for individually. to have the privilege of sharing the Lord's table with you or baptizing your children. I hope that you will treasure our time together. I do not plan on coasting into retirement. I plan on finishing well. When I was in high school, I ran cross country and track, and for a while, my name was on the board for the best time in the 2 mile. You know what kind of runner I was? I ran with a kick. Do you know what a kick is? It's when you run your race, you hang in there in the race, and then you finish the race strong, often coming from behind to win. I plan on finishing this race with a kick. And regardless of who you call as the next pastor, do not forget the foundation that has already been laid. We have been building on this foundation for 66 years. And we are still building. And to use a football metaphor, this is my last drive. So when I think, okay, 4 months, and this is 4 months after 38 years of ministry, that means I'm in the last minute. My last minute in the game with me as quarterback. But I've seen teams that come from behind with less than a minute and finish strong, right? For the last few years, the Chiefs have been that kind of team. And then Thursday night happened. And you know what? You realize that quarterback can't do it alone, right? You need the team. Come on, guys, can he catch a pass? You need the team making the plays the Lord's already told us to make. Here are the plays. Love. Serve. Invest in the city and in the world. Give. Pray. Tell people about Jesus. Why? Because this is how we win the game. And there is joy in finishing the game well. Let's make this year our best year yet. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the gift that these people are to me. Thank you for the privilege of serving them. I pray for myself that I would serve them well. I pray for the transitional pastor that will be sought and brought in, that you'll give him divine wisdom to discern the church and make his unique contributions. We pray for the next lead pastor that you will call and that the congregation will call. We pray that you would already begin preparing him. We pray that you would, whoever you want, would be called by you to this congregation. I pray that the search team would see who that person is and that there would be one heart and one voice as he is called. And I pray, Lord, that in the time we have left, that indeed we say, okay, I will invest spiritually. And I will invest in the church so that we carry out in these final months with me as a quarterback a church that accomplishes your purposes. And a church where we can rejoice in the great work you have done. Do this, Lord, for us, and for the sake of your own glory, we pray. Amen.